seated. Well, I always love our combined Sundays because we get a little bit of everything, don't we? Right? We get Encounter Band. We get great music. We have even special guests like Jennifer on the flute today. So we got a little bit of everything. And then on kickoff Sunday, we all wear our jerseys or something like that. And so you look around and we got a little bit of everything there too, don't we? Which I think is interesting because we're talking about oneness, and you might look around and say, well, there's definitely not oneness here.
Except we're all here.
We're all here, but oneness doesn't mean sameness, and that was something we touched on last week, because oneness doesn't mean sameness. Oneness does not mean the absence of diversity. So, there is a lot of diversity when it comes to our favorite team today, correct? And some of us, we have some big time rivals. Look around. I mean, you got Tennessee people and Alabama people, and you got Carolina people. I didn't see a Duke thing today. Thank goodness. No, there it is. No, my daughter's not here. That's why. We got Carolina, and so we got some rivals. Right? And sometimes they can look like bitter enemies. But we are all fans of what? We're fans of our schools or our teams or whatever. There's a thing that binds us together. And so that's where we find our unity. Like we talked about it last week in the church, we find our unity in that what unifies us, what binds us together is our love of Christ and our love of people. We find our oneness in Christ. So how do we take this oneness and this understanding beyond just the church or beyond just our beloved teams and enlarge that perspective a little bit? So, you know, we're in the midst of the political season, correct? Right? I know that's a bad word in church, politics, isn't it? Oh, but maybe we should talk about it a little bit more there. And so things are heating up. I mean, every election cycle does. And here's the thing, though. Sometimes it seems like we become more concerned about our candidate winning, okay, and ensuring that our candidate wins than loving our neighbor or maybe even loving our family member. Let's think about it. Someone mentioned to me recently about how they have a brother who's on the opposite side of the aisle, okay? Opposite political views. They don't see eye to eye on it. And unfortunately, what they were sharing and what they were lamenting was the impact it has had on their relationship and how it has strained their relationship, so much so that they rarely talk to one another anymore, which is the sad part, right? It's the sad part. And that person is probably not the only one. There was a study that came out a couple years ago looking at the Thanksgiving meal and how families are actually spending a little less time together on Thanksgiving. And one of the reasons is, which I thought was really interesting, is that younger generations find it hard to stay with the parents and grandparents for a length of time because of the potential of a divisive subject coming up, like politics. And an argument ensuing. So it's like, hey, we'll have dinner, we'll share a little bit of time, we maybe watch some football together, but we're gonna cut out about 30 minutes earlier than we used to, all right? Because it's just too hard to hang out with folks who disagree and see things differently than we do. So we're not gonna hang out as much together anymore. I mean, think about your families. What about your grown kids, your parents, your co-workers? Has the political climate, has it put a strain on those relationships, or has it brought you closer together? For some, it may have brought you closer together if you're of the same tribe or stay in your same silo. It can bring you closer together. We have this tendency to sort of want to circle the wagon sometimes. But if you're around a lot more diverse understandings or opinions politically, you know, Charlotte's a pretty diverse, metro area. You're going to rub shoulders with someone who's not going to see things or agree with everything that you do. So it has a tendency to push us farther apart. I mean, even in this room, you know, there are folks all over the spectrum. So are we growing closer to one? Are we focusing on the unity and the oneness, or are we building up walls and siloing ourselves even more? I mentioned last week, Paul and all of his letters that we have in the New Testament that make up most of our New Testament, he's always addressing some issue or some problem that's going on in the early church. Whether it's in Corinth or in Rome, wherever, he's always addressing some issue. And so this morning, it comes as a letter that he wrote to the Christians there in Rome. So these are Christians there in Rome. You know, this is the center of the Roman Empire. You know, the emperor, you got the civic leader there. You know, but this is also a time of chaos and confusion and harm and persecution. And yet what Paul says to those in Rome, I think, still speak to us today. For Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Honor one another above yourselves. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Live in harmony with one another. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And then he closes out this paragraph with these words. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you. In other words, Paul's reminding, hey, you know what? You can't control everybody else. You can't control your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your politicians. All right? You can't control what's happening on cable news or talk radio. All you can control is how you respond, how you react to that. As far as it depends on you, says Paul. I used to listen to talk radio a lot. I used to watch the national news a lot. Okay? I used to watch the political debates and the conventions and all those things. I used to get into all of that. I used to. And I stopped. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I still follow the news and all those kind of things, but I'm not into it like I used to be, because what I found happening in my life was this growing anger and a growing disdain for the other side, whatever side that happened to be. And I found myself putting more stock and more time and effort into those earthly kind of things rather than godly kind of things. I mean, we can be well-versed on every political issue, and many of us are. And we can talk with the best of them and debate with the best on them. And yet, we can do all about the politics and the issues and all that stuff and know very little about what's in God's Word. We'll know more about the politics versus what God says. And somewhere along the way, if we're going to call ourselves followers of Christ, we have to balance that, right? It's good to be involved in politics. It's good to stay up on what the candidates are saying and doing and their policies and all those kinds of things. We just have to balance that. We have to balance that with God's Word. Because if we don't, I believe we become more susceptible to the anger, to the disdain, to the discord, and in the process, we kind of lose our witness as people of faith. And I say that because when I take a step back and look, what I see a lot of times, and I've been guilty of it, is that many times it is Christians, us, who fuel this. We help to fuel the animosity. And here's the thing, evil loves to use politics and racism and all those kind of things to divide us, to divide us in our churches, divide us in our society. I mean, when did it become okay for us as people of faith to demonize, demean, degrade, tear down people in general, but these days seems like just people of another political party? Here's what, you know, Jesus said this. He said, here's how you're going to know you're one of my disciples. All you got to do is go get one of those little, those little fish stick things, ichthus they call, and, put that on the back of your car. Get a magnet from your church and put that on your car. Or you can get In God We Trust, license plate, that'll do it. Or get that WWJD bracelet, or get a necklace with a cross on it. And if you really want to make a splash, then get a Bible verse tattooed on your body somewhere. Right? Jesus says, if you'll do one of those things or all of those things, then people will know that you're my disciple, right? What did he say? In John 13, we find it. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? Love one another. That's what we're to be known for, not for the symbols. Symbols are fine. All right? We wear our favorite jerseys. Why? So to say that we are a fan of whatever it might be. It's all good. But it's how we conduct ourselves, how we relate to others, that sets us apart. I mean, which means we have a choice in every email, every Facebook post, every Instagram, every break room conversation, every Thanksgiving meal. We have a choice as to how we're going to respond, what we're going to say, what we're going to do. So we either can throw fuel on the fire or we can help diffuse it. And again, Paul's letter to the Christians there in Rome, I think, gives us a little bit of insight into that, because he's dealing with difficult people going through difficult times, and people that didn't agree with one another, who looked at one another and said, "You're impossible." And he says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Love must be sincere. And the word there is a word many of us know, the word agape. Okay, Greek word for love. One of the Greek words for love, agape, means unconditional love. Love has no boundaries. It's not based on feelings. It's actually based on sacrifice. Right? It's not based on getting. It's based on giving. And so Paul says, love everyone sincerely. Love all people. Why does he talk so much about it? Why do we talk so much about it? Because it's the hardest thing for us to do. And in this, in this season right now, loving others who are on the opposite political aisle than us. And so Paul is saying, hey, if you're a Democrat, you gotta love Republicans. If you're a Republican, you gotta love the Democrats. If you're an independent, you gotta love everybody. Which also means you gotta love President Biden, you gotta love President Trump, you gotta love Vice President Harris. Hard thing to do. I've heard people say, I understand God calls me to agape love. I understand that. But you know what? I ain't gotta like that person. Or, I love them in the Lord, okay? I'm under that spiritual obligation. I love them in the Lord. But I just don't like them. Translated means I really don't like them. I'm really not going to love them. I really don't want the best for them. Okay? I'm not really going to pray for them because I really can't stand them. But I'm Christian, so bless their heart. And that just makes it all right there, right? But here's what I discovered in my life. If I say I love that person, or I'm trying to love that person, but I really don't like them, guess what? I treat them as such. Right? We have a tendency to do that. Do you treat those that you love better than those that you do not like? I have a tendency, it's human nature, I have a tendency to do that. If I don't like you, I'm not going to treat you very well. Or at least I will be indifferent to you. Now, what if God treated us that way? Treated us in the same way we treat people that we don't like. What if God said, you know what? I love you. I love you because, I'm God. I'm supposed to. But I really don't like you. And what if God was just indifferent to us? Yeah, but we're not God, we say. It's hard. It is hard to love sincerely. But loving someone sincerely doesn't always mean we're going to like a person's actions. Okay, so we got to separate some things out. And I'll give you an example. My wife, Mindy, loves me, but she does not like all my actions. Okay, and there's a long list of those. I mean, she doesn't like it when I don't take out the trash. She doesn't like it if I don't get rid of the leftovers. She don't like it if I turn the air conditioning back up after she's turned it down. You know, all those kind of things. She doesn't like my actions many times, okay? But thankfully, she's able to separate out my actions from still loving me. Paul calls us to love one another sincerely. So how do we do that? How do we do that and not lose our witness in the process? Well, again, Paul's calling us to love, and that has nothing to do with feelings, how we feel about someone, whether they're bad or good, whether they're, they love us in return or not. Paul's calling us to action, though. How do we relate to one another? How do we interact with others? So let's take that. Let's see. Love sincerely is this about our actions. So let's take that right now in the course of what's going on. Let's take social media, for example. Big problem, right? On social media, we are far more aggressive than we would be in person. We will say things or post things or like things that we would never do most of the time if we were talking to someone in person. Right, it's easy for us to be mean, to tear down, to demean, devalue, despise this thing behind a screen, whether it's a computer screen or a phone screen or whatever kind of screen it is. Here's the thing, again, we can't control what others say, but we can control what we say, what we do, how we respond, how we react. So here's what we can do. Here's the action step for us during this political season, and that is very simply two words. Just stop. Just stop. Right? Just stop posting stuff like that. Just stop liking stuff like that. Just stop sharing stuff that demeans, that demonizes, tear downs others. Just stop. Pull the hand back, close the app, take a deep breath, whatever you need to do that's going to help you stop. If you get an inflamed post, all right, or an email, or take a moment before you react. Delete it. Maybe unfollow some people or some groups or whatever. That'll help. Maybe what we need to do is just stop. Maybe we need to take a break from maybe some of the news sources that we go to that fuels this kind of stuff. Our disdain, our dislike of others. I mean, I told you I had to take a break from that stuff because it was having an impact, a negative impact. Now, I still read the news daily. I still keep up with that kind of stuff. I just don't let it consume me. All right? Just, it's hard to do this because we're so connected to screens. It's hard. Stuff pops up all the time. So I know it's hard, but maybe the first is just stop. Do not fuel the fire. But even to go a little bit deeper, and this is for James. James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to grow angry. But this is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. True. Those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say. They mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. Their witness is lost. Another way to say it. And Paul writes about it because James writes about it because they couldn't do it then. We can't do it now, right? We don't really listen. Somebody might be talking, but we're not listening because usually what we're doing is we're going over in our head what our response is going to be, right? We're not trying to listen to what they're actually saying. And most of the time, the way they say it is off-putting anyway, isn't it? We're guilty of the same things. So how do we take this deeper? I think it goes back to the very simple thing is we have to begin, get back to seeing one another as human beings first. Not part of a group, not a stereotype, simply as a human being. Because when we stop seeing one another as human beings, then it becomes easy to degrade. demeans, tear down, devalue, all of those kinds of things. See, loving sincerely, again, it's not about a feeling. It's about an action. It's about seeing one another. I believe it's about seeing one another as a human being. Because when we don't, it brings out the worst of us. And if we're not careful, it brings out the evil. Right? What does history should tell us this, right? The Nazis saw the Jews and pretty much anyone who wasn't Aryan as a subhuman. They had a word for it. All right, der Untermensch means subhuman. They stopped seeing other people as human beings, which led to what? The extermination of 6 million Jews, over 5 million Soviet citizens, 2 million non-Jewish Poles, 375,000 Gypsies, 312,000 Serbs, 250,000 disabled persons, and many, many more. And when it was all said and done, you counted it all up, it was about 17 million people. It's not just been the Nazis. It's happened in places in like Rwanda, where one ethnic group tried to exterminate the other. Places like Bosnia, where the Serbs, who are Christian, all right, led a campaign of ethnic cleansing, you know, of the Bosnian Muslims. Happened in places like Cambodia, where the Khmer Rouge attempted to purify the country of Western culture. It's happened here in our own country when our government forcibly removed all the Native Americans that were east of the Mississippi to the other side of the country, and in doing so decimated tribe after tribe after tribe. And so the list, unfortunately, is long when you go look at our history. And to me, one of the things that's common in all of it is when is people began to look at other people and forgot that they were a human being. And they looked at them as less than in some way, subhuman in some way. And I think that starts when we stop listening to one another. When we stop listening to one another, we devalue, demean, we demonize all the things that are opposite of loving sincerely. And yet it's not a lost cause. Right? It can work, it can happen if we would take the time to do that. Came across a story this week of a group of women who decided that they were going to refuse to be enemies. Take a look.
Everybody thinks Palestinians and Jews would be enemies, but we make it a point to contradict that. It's difficult at times, you know, because we're a dialogue group, so we address complicated issues, and we're not always on the same page, but that doesn't pull us apart. You know, talk about it. We may not get to a resolution, but we understand why the other person feels the way they feel. I always talk about that. There are a lot of courses taught at colleges and universities about public speaking, but there aren't any courses about listening. And it's hard. We go back, I think, 22 years now. Six Palestinian and six Jewish women. We spent 1 year just listening to each other's stories to create a safe space. And I think that was the foundation. And I think by that time we bonded and nothing was going to pull us apart, because our motto became refusing to be enemies. Neither of the two sides is innocent. So how can you pick one over the other? There's just more than one truth. I have some hope that when this war ends, that finally maybe they will address the root cause of the conflict, because that's never been addressed. That's why you have one war after the other. And I'm thinking this war has been so much more disastrous that maybe the time has come. So you have to keep hoping.
So it can happen, right? If you can get a group of Palestinians and Jews to refuse to be enemies, then it can happen, right? Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to grow angry. It's amazing when you really begin to truly live into those words, what happens? Because I believe when we do, that is where we discover our oneness. So here's what I want to challenge you to do between now and November 5th. All right? I want to encourage you to choose love over politics. To be a disciple of Jesus first, before you are a Republican or a Democrat or independent or anything else. All right? Be a disciple of Jesus first. So in the process, we don't lose our witness. Because here's the thing. Your candidate is either going to win or lose on November 5th. One or the other, right? It's guaranteed. But on November 6th, Jesus is still going to be Lord. And so that's one reason that I don't follow an elephant anymore. I don't follow a donkey anymore. And I strive to follow simply the Lamb of God. Let us pray. Lord, it is hard. It is hard to love our neighbor. It is hard. It is hard to even love everybody in our families. But Lord, I pray that you help us to put feet to the gospel, to live in a more excellent way. Yeah, stand up for truth when we must. But when we do it, to do it with love and do it with grace. So Lord, when we look upon one another, where may we find our oneness, the oneness that is found in you. That each and every person in this world has been created, is a child of God. That binds us together. So Lord, may we see one another as that first and foremost. Take the time to listen. Be slow to speak. May we choose you over any political party, any team, any group. May you indeed be Lord of our lives. For it's in your name we pray this. Amen.